Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and Psalm 43. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel was veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded their minds, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. He is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is Advent, as I think is clear from the candles here that are lit. We have an expectation of Jesus coming. And in that expectation, I think that we have the opportunity to set right that which the world does wrong, because for some reason there seems to be a rising tide, even among Lutherans, to expect that all of the promises of God are for some distant age, and all he's really doing for us at this point is cheering us along, hoping that things go well for us and giving us tips along the way. And so you often see people celebrating sermon series like 10 tips from God's Word for having a happy marriage, or the 5 biblical principles for financial freedom, or the 3 things parents need to know from the Bible to raise happy, healthy, spiritual kids. God is cheering you along. He's a tip master, the dear Abbey of the universe. And if you ever get in trouble, he won't answer you, but you can talk to him anytime you want to. And all of that foolishness avoids the fact that God has become flesh and dwelt among us, and that he continually comes to us through his word, through his sacraments, in the flesh, and on the last day will come again to where we are to bring us to his Father's house in heaven, the place that he's prepared for the living and the dead. People get caught up in the darkness of their lives and they say, "God must not be here, because God is light. Where God is, everything good is happening." And there is some wisdom in that, except they look for good and they define good the wrong way, and so they don't see it when it's really there. They look for good, and what does good mean? It means that pleasant and happy things are happening for us. Forgive us, Lord, for shallow thankfulness, for words that act in variance with deeds, for praising you for pleasant ways, unmindful of a broken brother's needs. That should be our Advent hymn. It's one of my favorites. We lose sight of everything but us, and that's part of the problem that meant that the Savior had to come. We became so turned in on ourselves as a result of original sin that we're really the chief cause of good in our minds. If something good is happening to us, then something good is happening in the world. If something bad is happening to us, something bad is happening in the world. And if something bad is happening to all the people we love and care about, then God must have lost control somewhere. And now it's time to get to be a prayer warrior and tell him what he overlooked. God, I don't know if you've noticed or not, and I believe they think that he sits upon his heavenly throne and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was listening to the choir and I got lost in the music, and now I realize you're having trouble." God is living and active in our lives and comes to us every single day as he's promised. It isn't just some distant hope or the idea that he hasn't turned his back on you because Jesus did something 2,000 years ago. There's a stream of living water which flows through the cross through all generations. The psalmists love to talk about it. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. But he who hopes in the Lord will be like a tree planted by streams of living water. You picture that cascading down throughout our lives, giving fruit and flowers and grass in the desert and causing it to spring forth and bloom. And it flows even into the most desperate and difficult of times. The places where it really doesn't look like God should be or would be. As the waters overflow the banks, as tornadoes destroy homes and even churches, as fire devastates, as hurricanes rend asunder, as life is taken, even at the worst possible times in the worst possible ways, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And God comes to help his people. The most ridiculous thing about the way that God helps his people, though, is he doesn't rend the heavens and come down until the last day. He sends people like Rob and Michael. Talk about hiding your glory in jars of clay. And yet, whenever he sends us, that's what he sends. It firstly helps us to understand that we're not God. When we go to try to be with people, we often make that mistake and think that we're supposed to be the Savior. And so we give them bad advice, we give them wrong advice, we give them the wrong things because we're trying to give them us. And that's always going to fail because we are always going to fail. Now, we might not fail at every point and at every moment, and that just seems to make things worse because that builds our pride and lack of humility, and it makes us think the next time around we're really going to show them how great we are because we've learned from everything that we've just experienced, and we're going to be even greater next time around. But if we haven't delivered Jesus, what we've delivered is at best a temporary fix. We preach not ourselves, but Christ as Lord. He is the image of God. But through all of these things, in the midst of disaster, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of sin, family hardship, trial, torment, and pain, in the midst of a fallen and dying world which is rolling up like a scroll, and even the elements will be dissolved with fire, what do you see when everything falls apart? God's people come running. God sends his sons and his daughters. And with hands made of flesh like those who are the victims of whatever they're facing, they're lifted up and helped. It isn't just in worship when Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you." It's when your house has a tree on top of it and a bunch of LIRT volunteers show up and pray with you and lift you out of your despair and your depression, feed you, help you. There Jesus stands in the midst of them, God with his people. You see, he's used to disasters. During a great earthquake, which some recount as being felt even 400 miles away in Tyre, God was in the middle of the earthquake, at the point of death, hanging on a cross. He knows what it means to jump into the disaster his people are facing, and to do so time and time again. He knows what it means to bring help and salvation when it's needed most, because he always has. In the garden, before the first day of our sin was over, he was there in the midst of it. Throughout the disasters of life, as the troops were bearing down on the people of Israel, and they cried out, "Did you bring us out into the desert to die?" God stood between his people and the disaster. On the cross, he stood between them. And for many of you, when you were just children, the streams that make glad the city of God flowed to you in the waters of your baptism, and you became a part of that church and a part of the help that he sends in his name, in his presence. And then the whole company recognizes itself as the body of Christ. Whatever you've done for the least of these, my brothers, even if you've given a cup of cold water in my name to one of the little ones who believe in me, you've given it to me. You will not lose your reward. You've done it for me. Jesus is there, the image of God, imprinted not on the circumstances, but on the people, bringing life and hope and salvation. Now we call forth two jars of clay. And when people see them, they'll see servants who proclaim Christ and him crucified. May our lives always be filled with those who bring that good news of life and salvation, the streams that make us glad throughout our days, and the hope which never fails us, Jesus Christ, the living God, the image of God, and him crucified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mission, and Reverend Michael Meyer has been properly called by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to serve as Director of Disaster Training in the Office of National Mission. Shall we have him come up as well? It's terrible when I'm the last to find out such things. Let us hear the word of the Lord. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Romans 12. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-5. Robert and Michael, do you solemnly promise to carry out the responsibilities of your offices in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and in keeping with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church as a true exposition of the Scriptures? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
You solemnly promise to perform the duties of your offices, making the best use of the abilities God has given you, in accordance with the Constitution and bylaws of the Synod? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the solemn promises of Robert and Michael, who have been properly called to serve the LCMS. Will you support and pray for them in their work? If so, then answer, we will.
We will.
Are you ready to assume your work? If so, then answer, I am.
I am.
Please kneel, Robert. I install you as LIRT Volunteer Manager in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael, I install you as Director of Disaster Training in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we give thanks that you send your people true and faithful servants. Grant to Robert and Michael, as they now begin their service in these positions, the direction, aid, and counsel of your Holy Spirit, that through their labors your church may be nourished, sustained, and equipped for every good work, and built up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace and joy. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and bless and strengthen you for faithful service in his name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Vicar Ben and Grace Vanderhyde, who are serving the Lord in Sri Lanka. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.